If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 tonight. Is there anybody here that likes excuses? We don't like other people giving us excuses, but we're pretty good at it ourselves, aren't we? Huh? Excuses like armpits. Everybody's got some, but they stink. Luke 14, verse 16 through 22. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Sent his servant up at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Them wives, I'll say you. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Who do you think the master in this story is representative of? You see what it says there? The master was angry. I think God is telling us here tonight, he doesn't like your excuses. Lord, we just ask you right now to touch us. God, to speak to everyone, every heart tonight. And I pray your anointing upon your servant as he speaks your word. We give you the praise. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're seated. Hallelujah. I want to speak to you tonight. Excuses that will bring damnation. Excuses that will bring damnation. You see, an excuse is a false reason why some cannot do something. I said an excuse is a false reason why someone cannot do something. A reason is a sufficient ground of expectation or a logical defense. In other words, there are plenty of excuses for not walking with God. Amen? I said there are plenty of excuses for not walking with God, but no good one. No good reason. All those invited to this great supper began to make excuses why they could not attend. Isn't it interesting, folks? It is interesting if you look at the scripture and you see in this scripture that there was a previous invitation to the supper. In Luke 14, 17, and sent he servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. In other words, they went out and said to the people they already invited, look, it's time, now come. They already had a previous invitation. Everyone should have been ready. Amen? Everyone was expecting the call to come. Even though they should have been prepared, they began making excuses why they could not attend. One said he just bought some property and he had to go see it. This demonstration is poor management of money. Amen. He bought property before he even looked at it. Don't you think it would have been better if he would have went to see the property before purchasing it? Another said he bought 5 yoke of oxen and now he needs to go drive them. Another one blamed his wife. It seems so many have excuses why they cannot or why they won't serve God. I want to look at these excuses tonight that could keep people out of heaven, that could damn your soul to hell. Everyone else is doing it is a good excuse. At least they think so. Everybody's doing it. This excuse is normally used to justify wrong actions. Why'd you do that? Well, everybody else is doing it. It seems that people feel there is righteousness in numerical superiority. If everybody else is doing it, then it's okay for me to do it. Like I said this morning, anybody can live like the world. You see, people have a hard time with the teachings of righteousness because the rest of society is living a different way. Another version of this excuse is, how could so many people be wrong? You see, if everybody's doing it, how can they all be wrong? Well, when you look at the flood, there was a lot of people that weren't getting on the ark. And they found out there was a whole lot of people that were doing it. Everybody else is not doing it. And who all drowned? The ones that weren't doing it. See, isn't it amazing how people are so willing to conform to unrighteous behavior, but resist righteousness on the grounds that they don't want to be told what to do? See, the Bible tells us, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Let me tell you something. If you don't want to live like the world lives, you have to renew your way of thinking. You can't just continue to think like you always used to and expect to live for God. Our mindset needs to change from conformity to sin to conformity to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. I have to think like he thinks. The Bible also says, while everyone else was in Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham walked in the desert. Amen. While everyone else was living the way they wanted to live, Noah was building an ark. Amen. While everyone else was rejoicing, the God of Adam, Enoch, walked with him. While 850 men had dead religion, Elijah had fire and power come down on the sacrifice. Just because all of your friends and all of your associates are going one way, folks, that does not mean you have to follow. There's another excuse that people like to use. Well, Pastor, times have changed. That does not mean God's word ever changes. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Matthew 24:6-7, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. See, let's see how times have changed. You see, I say again, yes, times have changed, and they are not getting better. The worse the world gets, the better God is. The worse the world gets, the greater your light shines forth. Amen? Politics change, society changes, customs changes, fashions change, but God's word never changes. Come on. I dropped that. Puddle here. Things change, but God never changes. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, in the time of great inflation, the economy of sin remains the same. It is still death. Amen. This time of currency fluctuation, the economy of Christ remains the same, folks, and it is life. Things are fluctuating, and things are changing more rapidly than we can keep up with. But the Lord told us in his word, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
He's still the same God. He's still a delivering God. He's still a man of God that blesses you. He takes care of you. He's my provider. He's everything to me. Hallelujah. The Lord and His Word is the same yesterday, today, forever. If you want consistency in your life, if you want stability in changing world, you need to know my Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is still the same. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But yet people go on, they still have excuses. Another excuse says, well, I don't believe like you believe, Pastor. People justify their sinful ways with ignorance. You see, people choose not to believe. People choose not to know what the Bible teaches. Amen? Well, let me tell you something. You choose not to believe what the Bible teaches. God doesn't care what you think. His word is what he says, what he means, and he means what he says. Amen? You better care what the Bible teaches. People choose not to know what the Bible teaches. The issue is not to believe like everyone else. We must, hear me tonight, we must believe the scripture. Come on. Here's a great excuse. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Puke. Satanists are sincere. That doesn't make them right. Amen? Atheists are sincere. It doesn't make them right. In Mark chapter 13, 21 and 22, and then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, here he is there. Believe them not, for false Christ and false prophets still rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 and 12, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, and they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What we believe tonight, folks, matters. Amen? Sincerity alone is nothing. Sincerity with truth is power and salvation. Amen? You believe that tonight? I said sincerity with truth is power and salvation. Another excuse that people like to use is kind of a cop-out to me. He says, well, I don't understand it. See, we live a life with many things that we don't understand, yet we use them. Amen? How many here understand electricity? Of course, James. You better. He works for Cleveland Public Power. He better understand it. Just fix it when it goes down, will you? Listen. Hardly anybody, he's the only one raised a hand, I think. But you use electricity. Right? You don't understand it. You just know when I flick a switch, a light's supposed to come on. And if it don't, I'm calling James. Right? James, where are you at? Oh, Nate was bugging him to death when this power went out last time. See, you don't understand it. But you still use it. How many totally understand your computer other than the fact it's supposed to come on? One time when we first came up here, Pastor, our computer kept flickering. Driving me nuts, driving my wife nuts. So one day she was gone. Guess who got into the computer? My wife walks in the door and this computer's all tore apart on my floor. What are you doing? I said, I'm trying to fix it. You don't know anything about computers. You know why she was concerned? Because it had all the giving on it. And I'm just pushing stuff. But I found something loose and I fixed it. I put it back together and it worked and never broke again. You see, everybody know how oxygen works? Hold your breath for a while. See how bad you need it. You need it. But see, folks, when people say, well, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to live it. That's no excuse. It's not going to hold water with God. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 through 21 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The Bible plainly tells us, no excuse. No excuse. There plainly is no good excuse for people not to serve God. Nature itself teaches us about God. Folks, we don't have to understand everything before we live for him. Just do what the word teaches and let understanding come in its own place and time. In Psalms 119, verse 104, though thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You see, if you want better understanding, study the word of God. Then people think, well, I've got time to get right with God. It can wait. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he that saith, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let me tell you something, folks. All I have for this poor excuse is Scripture. Let me tell you something. You have no promise. You can walk out of this place tonight, and you'll never see the dark in the doors of this place again, folks. You better understand you have no promise of tomorrow. You better understand that today you better be ready for Jesus Christ to take you home. Some people will tell you, I'm just too bad of a person to be saved. Isaiah 55:6 says, see ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let me tell you something, folks. The longer you linger in sin, the longer you tangle with sin, amen, your heart is going to be hardened against the things of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, you do not want to be in that place. You have no promise that he will deal with you tomorrow. I'm telling you. You keep on ignoring God's call. Keep on pushing him away, and you may not get another chance to call on God again. Amen. Come on. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, a worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into a world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul the apostle declared himself to be the worst sinner. Amen. Paul persecuted the church. Paul killed the saints. He blasphemed the name of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You see, yet this great sinner, Paul, was able to pen scriptures amen, about the mercy of God, in particular in the character in Exodus, and he described the greatness of God, and you see the greatness of God in Scripture, in Numbers, and riches of God in Ephesians, and manifold in Nehemiah, and Lamentations, and on and on, plenteous and abundant and sure, everlasting, tender, new every morning, high as the heavens, filling the earth. God is a great God. Let me tell you something. God loves each and every one of us here tonight. God wants you to live for Him. He does not want to hear your excuses. He just wants you to understand that He is a God of grace, and He is willing to do whatever it takes. He has done all that can be done. Amen. He gave His life. Let's stand here tonight. In Psalms 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Psalms 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I'm telling you, there's a God that loves each and every one of us here tonight. And there's nothing that you could have ever done. He will not love you. Amen? No matter what you have been into, He says, just love me.